Chapter 57. A Breaking in the Threefold Land. The molten afternoon sun broiled the waste, flinging shadows across the mountains to the north, just ahead now. The dry hills passed between Jiaden's hooves, high and low, like swells in an ocean of cracked clay. Miles rolling away behind. The mountains had held Rand's eyes since they first came in sight the day before. Not snow-capped, not so tall as the mountains of mist, much less the spine of the world, but jagged slabs of brown and gray stone, streaked in some places with yellow or red or bands of glittering flecks. Tumbled about so that a man might think to try the dragon wall afoot first. Sighing, he settled in his saddle and adjusted the shufa he wore with his red coat. In those mountains lay Al-Khair Dahl. Soon there would be an ending of sorts, or a beginning. Maybe both. Soon, perhaps. Yellow-haired Adeline strode easily ahead of the dapple stallion, and nine more sun-dark Fardarai's Mai made a wide ring around him, all with bucklers and spears in hand, cased bows on their backs, black veils dangling on their chests, ready to be lifted. Rand's honor guard. The Aiel did not call it that, yet the maidens came to Al-Khair Dahl for Rand's honor. So many differences, and he did not know what half really were, even when he saw them. For instance, Avienda's behavior toward the maidens, and theirs to her. Most of the time, as now, she walked beside his horse with her arms folded in the shawl around her shoulders, green eyes intent beneath her dark headscarf on the mountains ahead. She seldom spoke with the maidens beyond a word or two. But that was not the oddity. Her arms folded, that was the heart of it. The maidens knew she wore the ivory bracelet, yet seemed to pretend not to see it. She would not take it off, yet hid her wrist whenever she thought one of them might be looking. "You have no society," Adeline had told him when he suggested some other than the maidens of the spear might provide his escort. Each chief, whether of clan or sept, would be accompanied by men from the society he had belonged to before becoming chief. "You have no society, but your mother was a maiden." The yellow-haired woman and the other nine had not looked at Avienda a few steps away in the entry hall to Leon's roof. They had not looked intently. "For countless years, maidens who would not give up the spear have given their babes for the wise ones to hand to other women, none knowing where the child went, or even whether boy or girl. Now a maiden son has come back to us, and we know him. We will go to Al-Khair Dahl for your honor, son of Shayil, a maiden of the Chumai Tardad." Her face was so set, all of their faces were, including Avienda's, that he thought they might offer to dance the spears if he refused. When he accepted, they made him go through that ritual of remember honor again, this time with some drink called Usquai, made from Zamai, drinking to the bottom of a small silver cup with each of them. 10 maidens, 10 little cups. The stuff looked like faintly brown-tinged water, tasted almost like it, and was stronger than double-distilled brandy. He had not been able to walk straight after, and they had got him to bed, laughing at him, no matter how he protested, as much as he could with all of them tickling him, so he could barely breathe for laughing himself. All but Avienda. Not that she went away. She stayed and watched the whole thing with a face as blank as stone. When Adeline and the others finally tucked him into blankets and left, Avienda sat down beside the door, spreading her dark, heavy skirts, watching him stonily until he fell asleep. At his waking, she was still there, still watching. And refusing to talk about maidens or Usquai or any of it, as far as she was concerned, it seemed not to have happened. Whether the maidens would have been as reticent, he did not know. How could you possibly look 10 women in the face and ask why they had gotten you drunk and made a game of taking your clothes off and putting you to bed? So many differences, so few that made much sense that he could see, and no telling which might trip him up and ruin all his plans. Yet he could not afford to wait. He glanced over his shoulder. What was done, and who can say what's yet to come? Well behind, the Tardot followed him. Not just the Nine Valley Tardot and the Jindo, but the Miadi and the Four Stones, the Chumai and the Bloody Water, and more. Broad columns surrounding the peddler's lurching wagons and the Wise One's party, reaching back 2 miles through the shimmering heat haze, ringed by scouts and outrunners. Every day more had come in response to the runner's roar had sent that first day. 100 men and maidens here, 300 there, 500, according to the size of each sept and what each hold needed to keep for safety. In the distance, to the south and west, another band was approaching at a run, trailing dust for their pace. Perhaps they belonged to some other clan on its way to Alcair Dal, but he thought not. Only 2/3 of the septs represented yet, but he estimated there were well over 15,000 Tardot Aiel strung out behind him. An army on the march and still growing. Nearly an entire clan coming to a meeting of chiefs in violation of all custom. Suddenly Jiaden topped her eyes, and there, in a long wide hollow below, was the fair gathered for the meeting, and on the hills beyond the camps of the clan and sept chiefs who had already arrived. Spread among 200 or 300 of the low wall-less tents, all widely spaced, were pavilions of the same grayish-brown material that were tall enough to stand beneath, with goods displayed on blankets in the shade, brightly glazed pottery and even brighter rugs, jewelry in silver or gold. Aiel crafts, mainly, but there would be things from beyond the waist as well, including perhaps silk and ivory from far to the east. No one seemed to be trading. The few men and women in sight sat in one or another of the pavilions, usually alone. Of the 5 camps scattered on heights around the fair, 4 looked just as empty, only a few dozen men or maidens stirring amid tents set up for as many as 1,000. The 5th camp sprawled over twice as much ground as any of the others, with hundreds of people visible, and likely as many more inside the tents. Ruark trotted up the hill behind Rand with his 10 Aethon d'Or, Red Shields, followed by Hyrn with 10 Tyne Shari, True Bloods, and 40-odd more sept chiefs with their escorts for honor, all with spears and bucklers, bows and quivers. It made a formidable force, more than had taken the Stone of Tyr. Some of the Aiel in the camps and among the pavilions were peering at the hilltop. Not at the Aiel gathered there, Rand suspected. At him. A man on a horse. A thing seen very seldom in the Threefold Land. He would show them more before he was done. Ruark's gaze settled on the largest camp, where more Aiel and Cadan Sor were boiling out of the tents, all to stare in their direction.
Shardo, unless I mistake myself, he said quietly. Cooladin. You are not the only one to break custom, Randall Thor.
Perhaps as well I did. Rand dragged the shufa from around his head and stuffed it into his coat pocket atop the Ungrial, the carving of a round-faced man with a sword across his knees. The sun began baking his bare head to show him how much protection the cloth had been. If we had come according to custom, the Shido were loping toward the mountains, leaving behind apparently empty tents, and causing some little stir in the other camps and the fair. The Aiel gave over staring at a man on a horse to peer after the Shido.
Could you have forced a way into Alcair Dal against 2-to-1 odds or better, Ruark?
Not before nightfall, the clan chief replied slowly. Not even against Shido dog robbers. This is more than violation of custom. Even Shido should have more honor than this.
Angry mutters of agreement rose from the other Tardot on the hilltop. Except the maidens. For some reason, they had gathered around Avienda off to one side, talking seriously among themselves. Ruark spoke a few quiet words to one of his Red Shields, a green-eyed fellow who looked as if his face had been used to pound fence posts, and the man turned downhill, running swiftly back toward the approaching Tardot.
"Did you expect this?" Ruark asked Rand, as soon as the Red Shield left. "Is that why you summoned the entire clan?"
"Not this exactly, Ruark. The Shido began forming lines before a narrow gap into the mountains. They were veiling themselves. But there was no other reason for Culloden to leave in the night, except that he was eager to be somewhere. And where would he better like to be than here, causing me trouble? Are the others already in Al-Kerdal? Why?
The opportunity presented by Chief's meeting is not to be missed, Randolthor. There will be discussions of boundary disputes, grazing rights, a dozen things. Water. If two Aiel from different clans meet, they discuss water. Three from three clans, and they discuss water and grazing.
And four? Rand asked. Five clans represented already, and the Tardad made six.
Ruark hesitated a moment, hefting one of his short spears unconsciously. Four will dance the spears. But it should not be so here.
The Tardad parted to let the wise ones through, shawls over their heads, with Moraine and Lan and Egwene riding behind. Egwene and the Aes Sedai wore loose white cloths around their temples, in damp imitation of the Aiel women's headscarves. Matt rode up too, off by himself, black-hafted spear across his pommel. His wide-brimmed hat shadowed his face as he studied what lay ahead. The warder nodded to himself when he saw the Shido.
That could be messy, he said softly.
His black stallion rolled an eye at Rand's dapple. Only that, and Lan was intent on the Aiel ranks before the gap. Yet he patted Mondarb's neck soothingly.
But not now, I think. Not now, Ruark agreed.
If only you would allow me to go in with you.
Except for that one slight hitch, Moraine's voice was as serene as ever. Cool calm painted her ageless features, but her dark eyes looked at Rand as if her gaze alone could force him to relent. Amisa's long pale hair, hanging below her shawl, swung as she shook her head firmly.
It is not his decision, Aes Sedai. This is the business of chiefs, men's business. If we let you go into Al-Kerdal now, the next time wise ones meet, or roof mistresses, some clan chief will want to put his nose in. They think we meddle in their affairs, and often try to meddle in ours.
She gave Ruark a quick smile meant to convey that she did not include him. Her husband's lack of expression told Rand he thought otherwise. Melaine gripped her shawl under her chin, precisely staring at Rand. If she did not agree with Moraine, at least she mistrusted what he would do. He had hardly slept since leaving Coldrox. If they had peered into his dreams, they had seen only nightmares.
Be careful, Randolthor,
Bear said, as if she had read his thoughts.
A tired man makes mistakes. You cannot afford mistakes today.
She pulled her shawl down around her thin shoulders, and her thin voice took on an almost angry note.
We cannot afford for you to make mistakes. The Aiel cannot afford it.
The coming of more riders to the hilltop had drawn eyes back to them. Among the pavilions, several hundred Aiel, men in Cadensor and long-haired women in skirts and blouses and shawls, made a watchful crowd. Its attention shifted when Kadir's dusty white wagon appeared behind its team of mules off to the right, with the heavy cream-coated peddler on the driver's seat and Isendra all in white silk holding a matching parasol. Kylie's wagon followed with Natail handling the reins at her side, and the canvas-topped wagons, and finally the three big water wagons, like huge barrels on wheels with their long mule teams. They looked at Rand as the wagons rumbled past in a squeal of ungreased axles. Kadir and Isendra, Natail in his gleeman's patch-covered cloak, Kylie's great bulk encased in snowy white, a white lace shawl on her ivory combs. Rand patted Jiaden's arched neck. Men and women began spilling out of the fair below to meet the approaching wagons. The Shido were waiting. Soon now. Egwene moved her gray close to Jiaden. The dapple stallion tried to nuzzle mist and got nipped for his trouble.
You've not given me any chance to speak to you since Coldrox, Rand.
He said nothing.
She was Aes Sedai now, and not just because she called herself one. He wondered if she had spied on his dreams, too. Her face looked tight, her dark eyes tired.
Do not keep to yourself, Rand. You do not fight alone. Others do battle for you, too.
Frowning, he tried not to look at her. His first thought was of Emmons Field and Perrin, but he did not see how she could know where Perrin had gone.
What do you mean? He said finally.
I fight for you, Moraine said before Egwene could open her mouth, as does Egwene.
A look flashed between the two women.
People fight for you who do not know it any more than you know them. You do not realize what it means that you force the form of the age lace, do you? The ripples of your actions, the ripples of your very existence, spread across the pattern to change the weave of life threads of which you will never be aware. The battle is far from yours alone. Yet you stand in the heart of this web in the pattern. Should you fail and fall, all fails and falls. Since I cannot go with you into Alcair Dal, let Lan accompany you. One more pair of eyes to watch your back.
The warder turned slightly in his saddle, frowning at her. With the Shido veiled for killing, he would not be eager to leave her alone. Rand did not think he was supposed to have seen that look pass from Moraine to Egwene. So they had a secret to keep from him. Egwene did have Aes Sedai eyes, dark and unreadable. Avienda and the maidens had come back to him.
Let Lan stay with you, Moraine. Farder Aes Mai carries my honor.
Moraine's mouth tightened at the corners, but apparently that was exactly the right thing to say so far as the maidens were concerned. Adeline and the others donned wide grins. Below, Aiel were crowding around wagon drivers as they began unhitching the mules. Not everyone was paying attention to the Aiel. Kylie and Asendra stared at one another from beside their wagons, Natale speaking urgently to one woman, Kadir to the other, until they finally stopped their duel of eyes. The two women had been like that for some time. Had they been men, Rand would have expected it to come to blows long since.
Be on your guard, Egwene, Rand said. All of you, be on your guard. Even the Shido will not bother Aes Sedai, Amis told him, any more than they will bother Bear, or Melaine, or myself. Some things are beyond even Shido.
Just be on your guard.
He had not meant to be that sharp. Even Ruark stared at him. They did not understand, and he dared not tell them, not yet. Who would spring their trap first? He had to risk them as well as himself.
What about me, Rand?
Matt said suddenly, rolling a gold coin across the fingers of one hand as though unaware of it.
You have any objections to my going with you?
Do you want to?
I thought you'd stay with the peddlers.
Matt frowned at the wagons below, looked to the Shido lined before the mountain gap.
I don't think it will be so easy to get out of here if you get yourself killed. Burn me if you don't stick me in the rendering kettle one way or...
Dovinia,
he muttered. Rand had heard him say that before. Lan said it meant luck in the old tongue, and flipped the gold coin into the air. When he tried to snatch it back, it bounced off his fingertips and fell to the ground. Somehow, improbably, the coin landed on edge, rolling downhill, bounding across cracks in the baked clay, glittering in the sunlight all the way down to the wagons where it finally fell over.
Burn me, Rand, he growled. I wish you wouldn't do that.
Isandra picked up the coin and stood fingering it, peering up at the hilltop. The others stared too, Kadir and Kylie and Natale.
You can come, Rand said. Ruark, isn't it about time?
The clan chief glanced over his shoulder.
Yes, just about.
Below him, pipes began playing a slow dancing tune.
Now.
Singing rose to the pipes. Aiel boys stopped singing when they reached manhood, except for certain occasions. Only in battle songs and laments for the dead did an Aielman sing, once he had taken up the spear. There were surely maidens' voices in that chanted harmony of parts, but deep male voices swallowed them.
Wash the spears while the sun climbs high. Wash the spears while the sun falls low.
Half a mile to right and left, Tardot appeared, running in time to their song in two wide columns, spears ready, faces veiled. Seemingly endless columns rolling toward the mountains.
Wash the spears, who fears to die? Wash the spears, no one I know.
In the clan camps and in the fair, Aiel stared in amazement. Something in the way they held themselves told Rand they were silent. Some of the wagon drivers stood as if stunned. Others let their mules run loose and dove under their wagons. And Kylie and Asendra, Kadir and Natale, watched Rand.
Wash the spears while life holds true. Wash the spears until life ends. Wash the spears.
Shall we go?
He did not wait for Ruark's nod to heal Jaden to a walk down the hill, Adeline and the other maidens falling in around him. Matt hesitated a moment before booting Pips to follow, but Ruark and the Tardod Sepchiefs, each with his 10, stepped off with the Dapple. Once, halfway to the fair tents, Rand looked back to the hilltop. Moraine and Egwene sitting their horses with Lan, Avienda standing with the three wise ones, all watching him. He had almost forgotten what it was like not to have people watching him. As he rode abreast of the fair, a delegation came out, 10 or a dozen women in skirts and blouses and much gold and silver and ivory, as many men in the grays and browns of the Cottonsore, but unarmed save for a belt knife, and that usually smaller than the heavy-bladed weapon Ruark wore. Still, they took a position that forced Rand and the others to halt and appeared to ignore the veiled Tardod streaming by to east and west.
Wash the spears, life is a dream. Wash the spears, all dreams must end.
I did not expect this of you, Ruark, a heavy-set, gray-haired man said.
He was not fat. Rand had not seen a fat Aiel. His heaviness was muscle.
Even from the Shido, it was a surprise. But you?
Times change, Monduin, the clan chief replied.
How long have the Shido been here?
They arrived just at sunrise.
Why they traveled in the night, who can say? Monduin frowned slightly at Rand, tilted his head toward Matt. Strange times indeed, Ruark.
Who is here besides the Shido? Ruark asked.
We Goshin arrived first, then the Sharad.
The heavy man grimaced over his blood enemy's name, without stopping his study of the two wetlanders.
The Charin and the Tomanel came later, and last the Shido, as I said. Savannah convinced the chiefs to go in only a short time ago. Bale saw no reason to meet today, nor did some of the others.
A broad-faced woman in her middle years, with hair yellower than Adeline's, put fists on her hips in a rattle of ivory and gold bracelets. She wore as many, and as many necklaces, as Amis and her sister-wife combined.
We hear he who comes with the dawn has come out of Roedion, Ruark.
She was frowning at Rand and Matt. The entire delegation was.
We hear that the Kaa Karn will be announced today, before all of the clans arrive.
Then someone spoke you a prophecy, Rand said. He touched the Dapple's flanks with his heels. The delegation moved out of his way.
Dovinya, Matt muttered. Mia Dovinya no sudden surrender.
Whatever it meant, it sounded a fervent wish. The Tardod columns had come up on either side of the Shido and turned to face them across 100 paces, still veiled, still singing. They made no move that could be considered threatening, really, only stood there, 15 or 20 times the Shido numbers, and sang, voices thundering in chanting harmony.
Wash the spears till shade is gone. Wash the spears till water turns dry. Wash the spears how long from home? Wash the spears until I die.
Riding closer to the black-veiled Shido, Rand saw Ruark lift a hand to his own veil.
No, Ruark, we are not here to fight them.
He meant that he hoped it would not come to that, but the Aielman took it differently.
You are right, Randall Thor. No honor to the Shido.
Leaving his veil hanging, Ruark raised his voice.
No honor to the Shido!
Rand did not turn his head to look, but he had the feeling black veils were being lowered behind him.
Oh, blood and ashes, Matt muttered. Blood and bloody ashes!
Wash the spears till the sun grows cold. Wash the spears till water runs free. Wash the spears. The lines of Shido shifted uneasily. Whether Culloden or Savannah had told them, they could count. To dance the spears with Ruark and those with him was one thing, even if it went against all custom. To face enough Tardad to sweep them away like an avalanche was something else. Slowly they parted, moving back to let Rand ride through, stepping back to make a wide path. Rand heaved a sigh of relief. Adeline and the other maidens, at least, walked looking straight ahead as though the Shido did not exist.
Wash the spears while I breathe. Wash the spears, my steel is bright. Wash the spears.
The chant faded to a murmur behind them as they passed into the wide, steep-walled gorge, deep and shadowed as it wound into the mountains. For minutes the loudest sounds were the clatter of hooves on stone, the whisper of soft Aiel boots. Abruptly the passage gave way to Alcair Dahl. Rand could see why the canyon had been called a bowl, though there was nothing golden about it. Almost perfectly round, its gray wall sloped all the way around except at the far end, where it curled inward like a breaking wave. Clusters of Aiel dotted the slopes, heads and faces bare, many more clusters than there were clans. The Tardad, who had come with the Sept Chiefs, peeled away toward one or another of those. According to Ruark, grouping by society rather than clan was an aid to keeping peace. Only his Red Shields and the Maidens continued on with Rand and the Tardad Chiefs. The Sept Chiefs of the other clans all sat by clan, cross-legged before a deep ledge beneath the curling overhang. Six small knots, one of Maidens, stood between the Sept Chiefs and the ledge. Supposedly, these were the Aiel who had come for the honor of clan chiefs. Six, although only five clans were represented. Savannah would have the Maidens, though Avienda had been quick to point out that Savannah had never been Fardarai's Mai, but the extra... 11 men in that, not 10. Even seeing only the back of a flame-haired head, Rand was sure it was Culloden. On the ledge itself stood a golden-haired woman in as much jewelry as the woman back at the fair tents, gray shawl draped over her arms, Savannah, of course, and four clan chiefs, none armed save for his long belt knife, and one the tallest man Rand had ever seen. Bale of the Goshin Aiel, by the descriptions Ruark had given. The fellow had to be at least a hand taller than Ruark or himself. Savannah was speaking, and some trick of the canyon's shape carried her words clearly throughout.
Allow him to speak!
Her voice was tight and angry. High head and back straight, she tried to dominate the ledge by force of will.
I demand it as my right. Until a new chief is chosen, I stand for Saladric and the Shido. I demand my right.
You stand for Saladric until a new chief is chosen, Roof Mistress.
The white-haired man who spoke in irascible tones was Han, clan chief of the Tomanel. With a face like dark wrinkled leather, he would have been taller than average in the Two Rivers. For an Aiel, he was short, if stocky.
I have no doubt you know the rights of a roof mistress well, but perhaps not so well those of a clan chief. Only one who has entered Roedion may speak here, and you who stand in Saladric's place.
Han did not sound happy about that, but then he sounded as if he was seldom happy.
But the dreamwalkers have told our wise ones Culloden was refused the right to enter Roedion.
Culloden shouted something, plainly furious, yet indistinct.
Apparently the canyon's trick only worked from the ledge. But Aram, of the Charin, his own bright red hair nearly half white, cut him off sharply.
Have you no respect for custom and law, Shido? Have you no honor? Stand silent here.
A few eyes on the slopes turned to see who the newcomers were. A ripple of nudges brought more around at the sight of two outlanders on horseback at the head of the Sept Chiefs, and one of the riders followed close by maidens. How many Aiel peered down at him, Ran wondered. 3,000? 4? More? None made a sound.
We have gathered here to hear a great announcement, Bale said, when all the clans have come.
His dark reddish hair was graying, too. There were no young men among clan chiefs. His great height and deep voice drew eyes to him.
When all the clans have come. If all Savannah wishes to speak of now is letting Cooladin speak, I will go back to my tents and wait.
Jaran of the Sharad, blood enemy of Bale's Goshin, was a slender man, gray streaked heavily through his light brown hair. Slender as a steel blade is slender, he spoke to no one of the chiefs in particular.
I say we do not return to our tents. Since Savannah has brought us in, let us discuss what is only somewhat less important than the announcement we awake. Water! I wish to discuss the water at Chain Ridge Stand.
Bale turned toward him threateningly.
Fools! Savannah snapped. I will have done with waiting. I...
It was then that those on the ledge became aware of the new arrivals. In utter silence, they watched them approach, the clan chiefs frowning, Savannah scowling. She was a pretty woman, well short of her middle years, and younger looking for standing among men well the other side of theirs, but with a greedy mouth. The clan chiefs were dignified, even Han in a sour-mouthed fashion. Her pale green eyes had a calculating look. Unlike any Aiel woman Rand had ever seen, she wore her loose white blouse undone low enough to show considerable tanned cleavage, framed by her many necklaces. He could have known the men for clan chiefs by their manner. If Savannah was a roof mistress, she was surely nothing like Leon. Ruark strode straight to the ledge, gave his spears and buckler, his bow and quiver, to his red shields, and climbed up. Rand handed his reins to Matt, who muttered luck with us as he eyed the surrounding Aiel. Adelin nodded encouragingly to Rand, and stepped straight from his saddle to the ledge. A startled murmur rolled around the canyon.
What do you do, Ruark? Han demanded, scowling. Bringing this wetlander here. If you will not kill him, at least send him down for standing like a chief.
This man, Randolph Thor, has come to speak to the chiefs of the clans. Did not the Dreamwalkers tell you that he would come with me?
Ruark's words brought a louder murmur from the listeners.
Merlane told me many things, Ruark, Bale said slowly, frowning at Rand. That he who comes with the dawn had come out of Rhydion. You cannot mean that this man...
He trailed off in disbelief.
If this wetlander can speak, Savannah said quickly, so can Cooladin.
She lifted a smooth hand and Cooladin scrambled onto the ledge, face an angry red.
Han rounded on him. Stand down, Cooladin. It is bad enough that Ruark violates custom without you doing it as well. It is time to be done with worn-out customs,
the fiery-haired Shido shouted, stripping off his gray and brown coat. There was no need for shouting. His words echoed across the canyon, but he did not lower his voice.
I am he who comes with the dawn.
Shoving shirt sleeves above his elbows, he thrust his fists into the air. Around each forearm wound a serpentine creature scaled in crimson and gold, glittering metallically. Feet each tipped with 5 golden claws, golden maned heads resting on the backs of his wrists. 2 perfect dragons.
I am the Karakhan!
The roar that came back was like thunder. Aiel leaping to their feet and shouting joyously. The Sept Chiefs were on their feet too. The Tardad clustered worriedly, the others shouting as loudly as anyone. The clan chiefs looked stunned, even Ruark. Adeline and her 9 maidens hefted their spears as if they expected to use them any moment. Eyeing the gap leading out, Matt pulled his hat low and guided the 2 horses close to the ledge, motioning surreptitiously for Rand to get back into his saddle. Sivana smiled smugly, adjusting her shawl as Cooladin strode to the front of the ledge with his arms high.
"I bring change," he shouted. "According to the prophecy, I bring new days. We will cross the dragon wall again and take back what was ours. The wetlanders are soft but rich. You remember the wealth brought back when last we went into the wetlands? This time we will take it all. This time..." Rand let the man's tirade wash over him.
Of things possible, he had never suspected this. How? The word kept sliding through his head, yet he could not believe how composed he was. Slowly he took off his coat, hesitating a moment before fishing the Ungrial from his pocket. Sticking it into the waistband of his breeches, he dropped the coat and walked to the front of the ledge, calmly undoing the laces of his sleeves. They slid down as he raised his arms above his head. It took a moment for the assembled Aiel to notice the dragons wrapped around his arms too, shining in the sunlight. Their hush came by increments, but it was total. Sivana's mouth dropped open. She had not known of this. Obviously, Cooladin had not thought Rand would follow so quickly, had not told her another bore the markings too. How? The man must have believed he would have time. Once he had established himself, Rand could be dismissed as a fraud. Light, how? If the roof mistress of Camardahold was stunned now, so were the clan chiefs, save only Ruark. 2 men marked as prophecy said only one could be. Cooladin ranted on, waving his arms to make sure all saw.
"We'll not stop with the lands of the Oathbreakers. We will take all the lands to the Arith Ocean. The wetlanders cannot stand against..."
Suddenly he became aware of the silence where eager cries had been. He knew what had caused it. Without turning to look at Rand, he shouted,
"Wetlander! Look at his clothes! A wetlander!"
"A wetlander," Rand agreed. He did not raise his voice, but the canyon carried it to everyone. The Shido looked startled for a moment, then grinned triumphantly, until Rand went on. "What does the prophecy of Rydion say? Born of the blood. My mother was Shail, a maiden of the Chumai Tardad." Who was she really? Where did she come from?
"My father was Jonduin, of the Iron Mount Sept, clan chief of the Tardad."
"My father is Tamil Thor. He found me, raised me, loved me. I wish I could have known you, Jonduin, but Tam is my father."
"Born of the blood, but raised by those not of the blood. Where did the wise one send to look for me? Into the holds of the threefold land? They sent across the dragon wall where I was raised, according to the prophecy."
Bale and the other 3 nodded slowly, but reluctantly. There was still the matter of Cooladin also bearing the dragons, and doubtless they would rather have one of their own. Sivana's face had firmed. No matter who bore the real markings, there was no doubt whom she supported. Cooladin's confidence never wavered. He sneered openly at Rand, the first time he had even looked at him.
"How long since the prophecy of Rydion was first spoken?"
He still seemed to think he had to shout.
"Who can say how much the words have changed? My mother was Fardarai's Mai before she gave up the spear. How much has the rest changed? Or been changed? It is said we once served the Aes Sedai. I say they mean to bind us to them once more. This wetlander was chosen because he resembles us. He is none of our blood. He came with Aes Sedai, leading him on a leash, and the wise ones greeted them as they would first sisters.
You have all heard of wise ones who can do things beyond belief? The Dreamwalkers use the one power to keep me from this wetlander. They use the one power as Aes Sedai are said to do. The Aes Sedai have brought this wetlander here to bind us with fakery, and the Dreamwalkers help them. This is madness.
Ruark strode up beside Rand, staring out at the still silent gathering.
Culloden never went to Rhoedion. I heard the wise ones refuse him. Randall Thor did go. I saw him leave Cheyenne, and I saw him return, marked as you see.
And why did they refuse me?
Culloden snarled.
Because the Aes Sedai told them to. Ruark does not tell you that one of the Aes Sedai went down from Cheyenne with this wetlander. That is how he returned with the dragons. By Aes Sedai witchery! My brother Muradin died below Cheyenne, murdered by this wetlander in the Aes Sedai moraine, and the wise ones doing Aes Sedai bidding let them walk free. When night came, I went to Rhoedion. I did not reveal myself until now because this is the proper place for the Karakhan to show himself. I am the Karakhan.
Lies, touched with just enough flecks of truth. The man was all victorious confidence. Sure he had an answer for anything.
You say you went to Rhoedion without the permission of the wise ones?
Han demanded, frowning. Towering Bale looked just as disapproving with his arms folded, Erim and Jeron only slightly less so. The clan chiefs, at least, still wavered. Savannah gripped her belt knife, glaring at Han as if she would like to drive it into his back. Culloden had his answer, though.
Yes, without it. He who comes with the dawn brings change. So says the prophecy. Useless ways must change, and I will change them. Did I not arrive here with the dawn?
The clan chiefs stood balanced on the edge, and so did all the watching Aiel, all on their feet now, staring silently, waiting in their thousands. If Rand could not convince them, he likely would not leave Alcair Dahl alive. Matt motioned again to Jiaden's saddle. Rand did not even bother to shake his head. There was a consideration beyond getting out alive. He needed these people, needed their loyalty. He had to have people who followed him because they believed, not to use him, or for what he could give them. He had to.
Rhoedion, he said.
The words seemed to fill the canyon.
You claim you went to Rhoedion, Culloden. What did you see there?
All know Rhoedion is not to be spoken of,
Culloden shot back.
We can go apart, Erim said, and speak in private so you can tell us.
The Shido cut him off, face flushed angrily.
I will speak of it with no one. Rhoedion is a holy place, and what I saw was holy. I am holy.
He raised his dragon-marked arms again.
These make me holy.
I walked among glass columns beside Avendisora. Rand spoke quietly, but the words carried everywhere. I saw the history of the Aiel through my ancestors' eyes.
What did you see, Culloden?
I am not afraid to speak. Are you?
The Shido quivered with rage, face nearly the color of his fiery hair. Uncertain looks passed between Bale and Erim, Jeron and Han.
We must go apart for this, Han muttered.
Culloden did not seem to realize he had lost his advantage with the four, but Savannah did.
Ruark has told him these things, she spat. One of Ruark's wives is a dreamwalker, one of those who aids the Aes Sedai. Ruark has told him.
Ruark would not, Han snapped at her.
He is clan chief and a man of honor. Do not speak of what you do not know, Savannah. I am not afraid, Culloden shouted. No man can call me afraid. I too saw with my ancestors' eyes. I saw our coming to the threefold land. I saw our glory, the glory I will bring back to us.
I saw the Age of Legends, Rand announced, and the beginning of the Aiel journey to the threefold land.
Ruark caught his arm,
but he shook the clan chief off. This moment had been faded since the Aiel gathered before Ruidian the first time. I saw the Aiel when they were called the Dashain Aiel, and followed the way of the leaf.
No!
The shout rose from out in the canyon and spread in a roar.
No! No!
From thousands of throats. Spear points shaken in the air caught the sunlight. Even some of the Tardod Sept chiefs were shouting. Adeline stared up at Rand, stricken. Matt shouted something at Rand, lost in the thunder, waving urgently for him to take his saddle.
Liar!
The canyon's shape carried Culloden's bellow, wrath mixed with triumph, over the shouts of the gathering. Shaking her head frantically, Savannah reached for him. She must at least have suspected now that he was the fake. Yet if she could keep him quiet, they might yet pull it off. As Rand hoped, Culloden pushed her away. The man knew Rand had been to Ruidian. He could not possibly believe half of his own story. But neither could he believe this.
He proves himself a fraud from his own mouth. We have always been warriors. Always. To the beginning of time.
The roar swelled, spears shaking. But Bale and Aram, Jaron and Han, stood in stony silence. They knew now. Unaware of their looks, Culloden waved his dragon-wreathed arms to the assembled Aiel, exulting in the adulation.
Why, Roark said softly beside Rand, did you not understand why we do not speak of Ruidian? To face that we were once so different from everything we believe, that we were the same as the despised lost ones you call Tuathawan. Ruidian kills those who cannot face it. Not more than one man in three lives who goes to Ruidian. And now you have spoken for all to hear. It cannot be stopped here, Randalthor. It will be spread. How many will be strong enough to bear it?
He will take you back and he will destroy you. I bring change, Rand said sadly. Not peace, but turmoil. Destruction follows on my heels everywhere. Will there ever be anywhere I do not tear apart? What will be, Roark. I can't change it.
What will be, the Aielman murmured after a moment.
Culloden still strode up and down, shouting to the Aiel of glory and conquest, unaware of the clan chiefs staring at his back. Savannah did not look at Culloden at all. Her pale green eyes were intent on the clan chiefs, lips pulled back in a grimace, breasts heaving with anxious breaths. She had to know what their silent stares meant.
Randalthor,
Bale said loudly, the name slicing through Culloden's shouts, cutting off the roar of the crowd like a blade. He stopped to clear his throat, head swinging as though seeking a way out of this. Culloden turned, folding his arms confidently, no doubt expecting a sentence of death for the Wetlander. The very tall clan chief took a deep breath.
Randalthor is the Kar-Akarn. Randalthor is he who comes with the dawn.
Culloden's eyes widened in incredulous fury.
Randalthor is he who comes with the dawn,
leathery-faced Han announced, just as reluctantly.
Randalthor is he who comes with the dawn.
That from Jaron, grimly, and from Aram.
Randalthor is he who comes with the dawn. Randalthor,
Ruark said, is he who comes with the dawn.
In a voice too soft to carry even from the ledge, he added, and the light have mercy on us. For a long, stretched moment, the silence lasted. Then Culloden leaped snarling from the ledge, snatching a spear from one of his Si-Adun, hurling it straight at Rand. Yet as he moved down, Adeline leaped up. His spear point stabbed through the layered bullhide of her outstretched buckler, swinging her around. Pandemonium exploded through the canyon, men shouting and shoving. The other Jindo maidens jumped up beside Adeline, forming a screen in front of Rand. Savanna had climbed down to shout urgently at Culloden, hanging on his arm as he tried to lead his Shido black eyes against the maidens between him and Rand. Hiren and a dozen more Tardod Sepchiefs joined Adolin, spears ready, but others were shouting loudly. Matt scrambled up, gripping his black-hafted spear with its raven-marked sword point, roaring what had to be curses in the old tongue. Ruark and the other clan chiefs raised their voices, vainly trying to restore order. The canyon boiled like a cauldron. Rand saw veils lifted, a spear flashed, stabbing. Another. He had to stop this. He reached out for Sidene, and it flooded into him until he thought he would burst if he did not burn first. The filth of the taint spreading through him seemed to curdle his toes. Thought floated outside the void, cold thought. Water. Here where water was so scarce, the Aiel always talked of water. Even in this dry air there was some water. He channeled, not really knowing what he did, reached out blindly. Sharp lightning crackled above Al-Kerdal, and the wind rushed in from every direction, howling across the lip of the canyon to drown the Aiel's shouts. Wind bringing minute traces of water, more and more, until something happened no man had ever seen there. A mist of rain began to fall. The wind above shrieked and swirled, wild lightnings streaked the sky, and the rain grew heavier and heavier, to a driving downpour, sweeping over the ledge, plastering his hair to his head and his shirt to his back, blanking out everything 50 paces away. Abruptly, the rain stopped hitting him. An invisible dome expanded around him, pushing Matt and the Tardot away. Through the water pouring down its side, he could dimly see Adolin pounding at it, trying to force a way through to him.
"You utter fool! Playing games with these other fools! Wasting all my planning and effort!"
Water dripped down his face as he turned to face Lanfear. Her silver-belted white dress was perfectly dry, the black waves of her hair untouched by a single raindrop among the silver stars and crescents. Those large black eyes stared at him furiously. Anger twisted her beautiful face. "I didn't expect you to reveal yourself yet," he said quietly. The power still filled him. He rode the buffeting torrents, holding on with a desperation he kept out of his voice. It was not necessary to pull in more, only let it come till it seemed his bones would crisp to ash. He did not know if she could shield him while Sidene actually roared through him, but he let it fill him against the possibility. "I know you are not alone. Where is he?" Lanfear's beautiful mouth tightened.
"I knew he would give himself away, coming into your dream. I could have managed matters if his panic..."
"I knew from the start," he broke in. "I expected it from the day I left the Stone of Tyr. Out here, where anyone could see I was fixed on Rudion and the Aiel. Do you think I did not expect some of you to come after me?"
"But the trap is mine, Lanfear, not yours. Where is he?"
The last came as a cold shout. Emotion skittered uncontrollably around the void that surrounded him inside, the emptiness that was not empty, the emptiness filled with the power.
"If you knew," she snapped back, "why did you chase him away with your talk of fulfilling your destiny, of doing what has to be done?"
Scorn weighted the words like stones.
"I brought Asmodian to teach you, but he was always one to leap to another plan if the first proved difficult. Now he thinks he has found something better for himself in Rudion, and he is off to take it while you stand here. Culloden, the Drakkar, all to hold your attention while he made sure. Oh, my plans for nothing because you must be stubborn. Do you have any idea what effort it will take to convince him again? It must be him. Demandred or Ravin or Samael would kill you before teaching you to lift a hand, unless they have you bound like a dog at heel."
"Rudion. Yes, of course, Rudion. How many weeks to the south? Yet he had done something once, if he could remember how."
"And you let him go? After all your talk of aiding me?" Not openly, I said. What could he find in Rudion worth my coming into the open? When you agree to stand with me, will be time enough. Remember what I have told you, Luz Theron.
Her voice took on a seductive note. Those full lips curved, those dark eyes tried to swallow him like bottomless pools.
Two great Sangreal. With those together, we can challenge.
This time she stopped on her own. He had remembered. With the power, he folded reality, bent a small patch of what was. A door opened beneath the dome in front of him. That was the only way to describe it. An opening into darkness, into somewhere else.
You do remember a few things, it seems.
She eyed the doorway, shifted that suddenly suspicious gaze to him.
Why are you so anxious? What is in Rudion?
Asmodian, he said grimly.
For a moment he hesitated. He could not see beyond the rain-drenched dome. What was happening out there? And Lanfear. If only he could remember how he had shielded Egwene and Elaine. If only I could make myself kill a woman who's only frowning at me. She is one of the Forsaken. It was no more possible now than it had been in the stone. Stepping through the door, he left her on the ledge and closed it behind him. No doubt she knew how to make one of her own, but the making of it would slow her down.